How many is ready for the Word of God?
Yes.
Did you come expecting today?
Yes.
Did you come expecting to hear a Word from God?
Yes.
Listen, I believe any time that the Word of God is spoken over you, it has the ability to change you. It has the ability to change you. And some of y'all may think, well, I'm doing pretty good. I don't need to change. Well, just listen. Just listen and let the Word change you, and you'll be better off for it. Amen?
Amen.
Last time we met, I talked about getting a vision for your spiritual life and being intentional about following that vision. Has anybody been meditating on that or pondering those things? About getting a vision for your life, a spiritual vision for your life. And then taking steps to follow that. You know, you can have the greatest vision and the greatest mission statement in the world, but if you don't take steps to go after it, it's not going to do you any good. Right? So we have to make progress. We have to do. We have to be about doing. Not just hearing, but doing as well. Amen? You have to start somewhere. You have to lay a foundation, I believe. You know, who is our foundation? Christ, the rock. He is our foundation. But if you want to study higher math, if you want to study, what's a higher math? Abstract algebra. Is that a higher math? That's a higher, that's such a thing, isn't it? It's so high, I just made it up, so it's got to be that. I'm feeling like Einstein here. I'm creating new math. But you can't just jump right into it, right? You got to start with subtraction, addition, multiplication, basic algebra, geometry, trigonometry, calculus, statistics, diffeqs. Huh? Hey, I do know that's for real. Right? You got to start somewhere. You got to start with that foundation. And in math, I mean, I think anyone will tell you, those things build upon one another. They build upon one another. Well, if Christ is our foundation, what are we building upon that? Not that we have to add anything to that, but what steps are we taking to build up ourselves on that foundation? What are we doing? What are we doing in our life to do that? And that's what I want to encourage us in today. Christ, the foundation. He was the cornerstone rejected by the builders. We understand that, right? Israel rejected the very Messiah that they had been waiting on. The very Messiah they had been waiting on. They rejected Him. They didn't understand. They were blinded in part. And for that, unfortunately, they will go through what we know as the Great Tribulation or Jacob's trial. We're learning about that in Revelation class on Wednesday. But they will have to go through that 7-year period where they will come to understand and realize that Jesus Christ is their long-awaited Messiah. And we, as born-again believers, guess where we're going to be? Woo! We're going to have a party. We're going to have a 7-year party. Y'all thought week-long parties were long? We're going to have a 7-year wedding banquet with the Lamb. And it's going to be, I don't know what, it's just going to be amazing. And then guess what? We get to come back with Christ to this earth. After Israel has been called in, and we'll celebrate together, and we'll rule and reign together with Him. Right? This is our future. But we got some things to do while we're still here in this earth. Why? One, there are people out there that have no idea of who Jesus is and why. Why He came. Why He shed His blood. Why He died. So that's part of The one step of our vision is to sow faith into people's lives. Faith for Jesus and what Jesus has done. That's one step. Our vision, sow, grow, and go. That's one step. The second step is we want to grow. We want to grow ourselves, don't we? Isn't it? I think it's human inherent nature to want to grow, to want to better ourselves. And, you know, even on the job, I mean, I worked in assembly. When I was in Germany, I was a German exchange student for 3 months, and I worked in assembly line. And guess what I got to do? There was this tiny little screw. I mean, it was smaller than my pinky nail. And then there was this part that was about this big. And I got to put a little bit of that blue stuff, what's it called? Loctite. On that little bitty screw and screw this thing in, and it had to be screwed specifically to a certain... I did that for a month. Putting that little screw in these tiny little parts. And I couldn't see myself. Okay, what? I'm not improving myself by doing this. But I was building something that was improving something else. See, they built cigarette machines. That's not very... It was called Hounie, and they built all the big cigarette machines for Philip Morris that did the production on the cigarettes. So I've got... But, so it was progressing technology, right? It was technology is moving forward. That's increasing. We should want to increase in our understanding and our knowledge and our wisdom in God. Understanding and wisdom and knowledge in His Word. And as we do, we are growing up in that righteousness. Now, when you get born again, you're righteous. In God's eyes, you are righteous. But we have to grow up into that for ourselves. I mean, He sees us as righteous, but do we see ourselves as righteous? That's the trick, isn't it? That's the hard part for some. Why? Because we consider, you know, what we've done in our past. We consider what's going on in our life, our faults, our failures, our letdowns. And it's hard for us to see ourselves as that. But man, that's how God sees us, perfect. He sees us perfect. You are perfect in His eyes. And we need to see ourselves that way. We do. We need to see ourselves. Why? Why is it important for us to see ourselves that way? So we can show it to others. So others will see that light in us. Man, this is not rocket science. The gospel is so simple. It's man that has complicated it. It really is. And then we have that third step of our vision here at the church. Sow, grow, and go. We do these things. We're sowing faith into our lives and people's lives. We're growing up in righteousness so we can share, we can go. Share the gospel. Share the gospel. What did Jesus say? I just read it in Luke 4:18. He's anointed him to preach the gospel to the poor. And I believe that's poor in spirit where he talks about Matthew. The poor in spirit shall inherit the kingdom of God. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, preach deliverance to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, and set at liberty them that are bruised. This is what we should be doing as ambassadors for Christ, representatives of Christ, every day of our life. I've said, you know, He brings people across our path every day, right? And don't we pray? I pray all the time for people. Send laborers across their path. Maybe you're the laborer. And when you cross their path, you're to share something of your life with them. Something of your understanding of who you are in Christ with them. Encourage them in some way. Putting feet to the vision is what we're doing. Putting feet to the vision. But that's not what I want to talk about today. Today I want to talk about what is truth. What is truth? I told you I was going to have trouble scrolling this thing. The Word says in John 8, let's turn there, John chapter 8. John chapter 8, verse 32, out of the King James says, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So what is this truth that will make us free? Here's a definition for you. Truth is most often used to mean being in accord with fact or reality or fidelity to an original or standard. Who do we understand to be our standard? Jesus Christ Himself is our standard. He is our standard. I like the way Noah Webster's, his 1828 dictionary puts it, conformity to fact or reality, exact accordance with that which is or has been or shall be. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. That is a fact. That is truth. Even Pilate asked the question of Jesus. Turn in chapter 18. We're going to be in John most of this, so y'all just stay right there. Chapter 18, verse 37, out of the King James. I'll be in the King James as well. Pilate therefore said unto him, to Jesus, "Art thou a king then?" Jesus answered, "Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born. And for this cause came I unto the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice." That I shall bear witness of the truth. So the truth will set us free. We understand Jesus came to bear witness of the truth. And then when in John chapter 1, flip on back there. Be doing some flipping today. John chapter 1, verse 14 says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." So truth will set us free. Jesus came to bear witness of it. And now that we know, He was full of it. The truth, that is. The truth. And then we see in John chapter 16. Don't you love it? At least I'm all in the same chapter for you. John chapter 16 verse 13. Says, "Howbeit when the Spirit of truth is come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak. And He will show you things to come." We know that truth sets us free. That Jesus bore witness to the truth. That He was full of the truth. And that it was given to us by the Holy Spirit. And then John clarifies it all for us in chapter 17. Verse 17, when he says, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." Thy word is truth. Thy word is truth. And that makes sense because in John 1:1 it tells us, right, that Jesus is the Word. And if Jesus came to bear witness to the truth, that he was full of the truth, and he is the Word, then the Word is the truth. Doesn't that make sense? That if-then statement, those if-then statements, y'all remember those? Anybody take philosophy? Therefore, truth is this word contained in this book right here. Right here. Which was inspired or given by the Holy Spirit because it says that he is the truth giver. The Amplified says he is the truth giver. So why? Why are we talking about this? Why are we? Why am I spending some time to tell you what truth is? It's to prove to you that this is the only thing that will set you free. Truth is the only thing that sets you free. If you believe a lie, are you free in that? Do we know who the father of all lies is? It's Satan himself. When he tells you a lie, there's no freedom in that. But when truth comes, we can celebrate. There is freedom in truth and understanding what truth is. And truth is simply his word. You need deliverance. You need set free. You need healed from a broken heart. You need to feel loved. Go to the truth. Go to the Word of God. And like we learned today, we can't just, it's good to read it and meditate on it, but that meditate, that word meditate means to mutter. We need to be muttering it. We need to be speaking it. Talking to ourselves in an audible voice, reading the word aloud if you can, making it personal to yourself, and that truth will set you free. This is so weird. I'm not. I know there are people that do this every day, and not me either. So we're believing, and we have said that restore, 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 right? A word that came from Brownie Bounds, one of our board members. And we have been claiming that word ever since. Restoration, right? This is a place of restoration. I believe every building where the church gathers should be a place of restoration. And we believe here, we are people of faith. We take the word literally. We believe everything in that word. We believe in signs. We believe in wonders. We believe in miracles. We believe people can get healed, set free, delivered of demonic oppression. We believe in all that, right? Amen. But why do we seek those things? Have you ever asked yourself? I believe that those things are for here and now. I believe that when Jesus walked the earth and he performed all those miracles, I believe when the disciples went after him and they performed all those miracles, those healings, it was for one purpose. And one purpose only. To point people to Jesus. The signs, wonders, and miracles are not an end of it in and of themselves. They are to point people to Jesus. And I would argue that they are for outside of this four walls to point people to Jesus. I believe that there is a day, and it is soon upon us, when we will see. This has been my confession ever since I was born again. I believe that we will see a time of those signs, wonders, miracles happening in the earth. And it will be the calling card. I believe with all my heart it'll be the last calling card of that great harvest that is coming into the kingdom of God. I believe that. But I don't want it just for the... I want it to fulfill its purpose in pointing people to Jesus. Jesus at the center of it all. We sing about it all the time, don't we? He needs to be at the center of it all. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the way to God in heaven, the truth of God contained in His Word, and the life of God, abundant life available now. See, some people don't grasp that, and it's tradition, it's religion, it's whatever you want to call it. They don't understand that they can have that abundant life now. And that's what we're called to do as ambassadors for Christ, is to share that love for people and let them know that they can have that abundant life. They can live in that abundant. You need to know that you can have that abundant life now, here, right now on earth. Now, heaven is going to be a glorious place. I don't have any doubt. But I believe it can be glorious here, right now in earth. We can walk in that freedom that Jesus died, that abundant life that He died to give us. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And if you are believing anything contrary to what is in this word, then you are believing a lie. If you are believing anything contrary to what is in this word, you are believing a lie. And He wants to deliver you from that. But how will you know? How will you know if you're believing a lie? Lest you get in His word and read it for yourselves. Unless you dive in and go deeper with God and learn His truth. His truth is His word. Truth is simple. It's man that messes it up, that confuses it, that complicates it. Jesus came to deliver us from the curse of the law. But it's man that wants to run back to the law continually. We want to run back to religion. We want to run back to some rules, regulations. That's not what grace is. Now, I'm not saying, listen, I can hear Pastor Rob's voice in my head. It's not a license to sin. It is not a license to sin. Grace is not a license to sin. Trust me, when you are following after God with your whole heart, you're not going to want to sin. But His grace is sufficient for us. His grace. Why do we continue to want to run back to bondage when we've been set free? By Jesus Himself. Set free, delivered from the curse of the law. Delivered from all those things we just read about. Delivered from brokenheartedness. Delivered from being held captive in bondage to whatever. You could fill in the blank there. Delivered from being blinded to the things of God. Delivered from not knowing what the kingdom of God is. We've been delivered from all of that. In grace there is freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. We sing about that too, don't we? We let our praise speak. Well, where is the Spirit? It's inside of you. When you got born again, when you received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, guess what? The Holy Spirit came to dwell on the inside of you. You became a dwelling, a housing unit, if you will, for the Holy Spirit. And it says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So there is freedom on the inside of you. But we need to have revelation of that, right? It's a revelation of that freedom that allows us to express it openly and outwardly. It's that understanding, that deep-seated, that deep root. If I told you right now, I'm trying to make something up here on the fly. If you walk out in a rainstorm and allow your hair to get wet, you're going to lose your salvation. You'd laugh. Right? Why? Why would you laugh at that? Tell me why. It's ridiculous. Why is it ridiculous? Rain has nothing to do with salvation. Says the former and the latter rains. Am I stretching it? I would beg and say that it's because you have such a revelation of your salvation that nothing could convince you otherwise. That's the same conviction, the same revelation we need to have of what His Word says about everything. About everything. If you've got to... this is good. You have got to have that same conviction about your salvation with everything that the Word of God, the truth of God says. If it says you can have your healing, you got to have that same conviction. If it says that you can be delivered from bondage of whatever the oppression that is on you, you have to have that same conviction that you have with your salvation. No one could be able to tell you anything that would take your salvation away, or that I believe that you would give it up for, hopefully. And you got to have that same conviction about every word contained in this book. And I mean, when we get to that point, man, the signs, wonders, and miracles. When you understand, if I lay hands on this person and pray the prayer of faith and believe it and convicted of it, is convicted the right word? Is convicted of it as I am about my salvation? Wow. There's power. Power in that. The prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Psalm 26:3 says, I have walked in thy truth. The gospel is simple. It's man, it's us, that overcomplicates it. There ought to be freedom within us. Freedom from fear. Freedom from condemnation. Freedom from death. Freedom from pain. Freedom from bondage. Why? Because His grace is sufficient. And His grace is sufficient for you and me. So no matter what you're dealing with today, right now, His grace is sufficient for you. There is freedom where the Spirit of the Lord is, and the Spirit of the Lord dwells on the inside of you. So there is freedom on the inside of you today. And you've heard it today. So guess what? Now you're accountable for it. You have heard the truth today, so now you are accountable for it. So what you do with it is up to you. I'll end with this. Years ago, I don't know how long it's been, we went on a mission trip to Peru. And we would get on a boat just about every day and travel down the Amazon River and get off at different villages and just minister the word through. We did kids, like a Bible school for kids, and we would pray for the adults and do feet washing and just minister Jesus. Sometimes in the evening, if there was a church there, and when I say a church, it was basically some planks on some sticks. And I'm getting, you wouldn't believe how joyful they were to meet in that place. In the Amazon jungle, no air conditioning, no cushy seats. But man, they would walk for miles from around the village and come to hear the word of God. But getting back to my point, we would ride down the river in this boat and get off. And I remember the title of the mission group was Amazon Medical Missions, and they did minister medically, but we weren't there for that. But I remember getting off the boat one time, and they had set up some kind of temporary thing. They knew we were coming, and all the people gathered round from the village. And I don't know, if I had to guess, 50 people maybe or something like that around there. And Marianne, what was her name? Sue. Marianne, I don't know where I got that. Sue is so much easier to remember. Sue, I remember Sue, they had these huge, so they didn't, obviously they were Spanish speaking. And I wasn't fluent in Spanish. Many of the people that were with us were not fluent in Spanish. And they had these big cards. You ever seen those gigantic playing cards that some people use? I mean, they're huge. They were like this big. And what it was telling the Bible story through pictures. And I remember the first time, this was the first time we got off at the very first village when we got there. And Sue was going through the Bible story with these cards. And at the end, she gave an invitation for people to receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And not a single one came forward out of those 50. And she said something, and this is scriptural, that has impacted me ever since. She said, she put the cards down, and she said, "I wash my hands." Meaning she had done her job. She had presented the gospel. She had given the invitation. Now what they chose to do with it was on them. So when you hear the word of God, you are held accountable to that word. And what you do with it is on you. Amen? Father, I thank you that your word is truth. And truth sets us free. So your word sets us free. And Lord, as we hear your word, as we read your word, as we meditate on your word, as we speak your word forth, we are accountable to that word. So I ask, Holy Spirit, help us. You are our helper. Jesus sent you to help us. He sent you to lead and guide us into all truth. Help us this day. Minister truth to us. Help us in our accountability so that we will take those steps of faith towards the spiritual vision you've given us for our life. Holy Spirit, help us. I believe everyone in here wants to do the will of God. Sometimes we need some help, but that's who the Holy Spirit is. He is our helper. He is our advocate. He is our standby. He is our intercessor. He is the one. So, Lord, we thank you for this time. And I pray that you seal these words, the words of God, to us, so that when we go out of here, we don't forget them. We don't get distracted and removed from them. But we do. We meditate on them. We mutter them to ourselves. We repeat them to ourselves. Your word says that we ought not let these words depart from our lips, meaning they should be continually on our mouth, in our mouth, coming out of our mouth. And Lord, as we do these things, I believe that mighty, wondrous works we are going to see in this earth. You have prophesied in your word that a last great harvest is coming to the kingdom. And you've shown us here at Christian Growth Center. And I believe that we are the epicenter. We are the focal point of something big for the kingdom of God, for the New River Valley. We continue to seek your face on that. So Lord, we thank you for times. Times of refreshing in your word that come forth to refresh us, to revive us, to bring us back into focus, to give us clarity about our spiritual vision. And then giving us steps to fulfill that. The Holy Spirit leading and guiding us, giving us steps along the way. Well, if you're a child of God, say amen. Amen. Hallelujah.